We find ourselves at a very auspicious time, really on the cusp, about to enter into Elozman. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Elo, and we want to spend Elo with Rabbeinu Rabbi Nachman. So continuing with the Shmuzin from Rabbi Ephraim Portnoy, said in the shul about 11 years ago, I'd like to use that as the basis, a springboard. I'm going to be mosif a little bit, again, not to take away, just to add a little bit to close more clarification on some of the points that he mentioned. But we'll learn through Elul. You know, for what Rabbi Nachman does is he takes the kavanas of the Arizal, explain what that means, and how these, you know, esoteric ideas, kavanas, they're very relevant and they're practical to us. So the Arizal went through the entire Torah and he explained how everything in the Torah has a connection and a deeper meaning, but not a deeper meaning as we understand it. So let's give an example. When he explains what's Elul, so if you take the name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, there are ways of spelling out the names of the letters, and how you would spell out those names of letters will come up to different gematrias. So let's go slowly. There is an Olam, there are four worlds, and this is going to correspond to four different ways of spelling out the Shem Yudke Vavke. So the lowest level is the Olam of Asiya. When we talk about worlds, we're not talking about the, you know, physical places where you get in a spaceship and all of a sudden you're in the Olam of Bria. But there are four different levels of consciousness. So the Olam of Asiya, and each one of these four levels corresponds to a different part of the davening, so we'll talk it out, that Asiya is the Korbanos section. And in this part, if we spell out the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, we spell Yud as Yud Vav Dalad, the name He is He He, the Vav is Vav Vav, and the final He is again He He, so that comes out to 52. Gematria Ben. So that's the gematria for the first Olam, where that lasts in the Siddur when you're davening, that goes throughout Korbanos, and then when you get to Baruch Sha'amar, Pesukei Nezirma, that begins the Olam of Yetzira. And this now, the Shem is spelled a little bit differently, that you would spell the Shem Hashem again, Yud Kei Vav Kei, so the Yud is the same, it's still Yud Vav Dalid, that's gematria 10. The He now is spelled He Aleph. That's first. The Vav is spelled Vav, Aleph, Vav. And the final He is spelled, again, He, Aleph. So when you add that up, that's the Shem Ma. Mem He is actually 45. That's corresponding to the Olam of Yetzira. That, in the Siddur, goes up through throughout Pesukei Dezimra until we get to Birchas Kriya Shema. At that point, we go into the Olam of the world of Bria. And the Shem Hashem, the Yod Kei Vav Kei in the world of Bria, is spelled Yud, Yud Vav Dalid. The He is now He Yud. The Vav is Vav Yud. I'm sorry, Vav Aleph Vav 13. And then the final He is He Yud. So when it comes up to this, this adds up to gematria of what? 63. The Yud is 10. The He is 15. The Vav is 13. And then the final He is again 15. So that's 63. That's Sag Samach Gimel. It's the 63. Gematria, and then when you get to Shmona Esrei, that's the Atzilus. That's the highest level. Again, it's like a ladder that's going higher. That comes out to be Ayin Bey, 72. And the way you get to the Gematria 72, when you calculate, you spell the name of Hashem, is Yud, Yud, Vav, Dalid. He is again He, Yud. Vav now is spelled in this world, Vav, Yud, Vav. And the final He is He, Aleph. I'm sorry, He, Yud. I said the backwards. Let me just one more time. Yud, Vav, Yud is the Yud. The first He is He Yud, the Vav is Vav Yud Vav, and then the final He is He Yud. That comes out to be Gematria Ayin Beis 72. Okay, so these are the different worlds, these are the names of Hashem. There's others, the Shem of Hashem, that's Aleph K Yud K, and then when you spell out the letters of that name, Aleph Lamed Pei is the Aleph K Yud, that comes out to be 161. Again, it's gonna go through a lot of calculated calculations, but that's how you have. You have a Shem Hashem that comes out to be 161. It depends how you spell out the Hays and the Vavs. There's many different variations of all these things. Plus, we can just add in a little bit more, they're Nakudas. And all the Nakudas, they mean something else. So what does the Arizal say with this? He says, Elul, El is Hanosein Layam Derech, right? Hanosein Layam Derech, the Yam, the ocean, you have to make a Derech through the ocean. Now, you think about it, an ocean doesn't have any highways, it doesn't have an easy pass, it doesn't have roads, but you have to make a road through that ocean. You have to make a Derech into the ocean. Derech is the Gematria 224. So when you take the Shem Hashem of Yud Beis Kuf, that's 112, right? We'll see how Rabbi Nachman takes all these numbers and Shem and brings it in a very practical way of Vodas Hashem. But there's a Shem Hashem of which is 112 Yud Beis Kuf. That's 112, and then you have that two times. So you take those two times, 112. Times 2 is 224. That is derech. That's the road. That's how you're going to get to doing teshuva. So how does this work out? Two times of a name. So he says, if you take the Shem Hashem, which is Aleph K Yud K, we're spelling it the way that works out to be 161, and you take the way, one of the four ways we just elaborated about spelling the Shem Hashem, when you get the 63, so you add those together. So 63 plus 161, these two names of Hashem come together to be the 224, which is the gematria of Derech. Now, what he adds is you should have in mind that the Shem of 161 has a segel, those three dots. And the other shame of Sag, Samach Gimel, that gematria has a chiruk, which is one dot. So you count the dots. Dots also have a gematria. Each dot is 10. So it comes out like this. If you're still holding cup, you count to 224, right? 224 plus all the dots, you have 400. Because each of the shames has 10 letters, times the three dots is 300, plus the other shame is 10 letters, plus the 10 dots there, that's 400. That's Pshuta stretched out. That means Hashem's hand is stretched out to accept us. Very, very condensed. This is very short, but that's what the Arizal says. And he explains that's what Elul. That's the month of Elul is all about. So what does that have to do with us? So, if someone like has a cheshik and they like doing these numbers and the back and forth, you can have appreciate it. But like lemaises is good for the Jews. How do I bring this down to my own personal serving of Hashem? So Rabbi Nachman has a couple of Torahs where he talks about the Arizal kavanas of Elul. That means it was supposed to be originally when the Arizal revealed it. He revealed for very big tzaddikim. And all the mitzvahs that they do throughout this time, the month of Elul, they should keep that shame in mind throughout the whole month. That's the kavanas they should have, whatever they're doing throughout the month of Elul. So this really isn't something realistic to expect from us, right? So what does it mean? How do we break this down and find something, like simple Jews like me and you can relate to? So Rabbi Nachman explains it goes like this. What are we trying to do? We're all trying to get onto that derech. The derech. What does it mean? We're in this ocean. We're in an ocean, ocean of tshuva. We're all trying to come close to Hashem, but we don't have a derech. We don't know what we're supposed to be going, where we're heading, where we're leaving. What's the whole path for us to go in this? So we're trying to make a derech in this yam. We're trying to make a derech, that this derech of tshuva. But what is it? What is the derech of tshuva that we're trying to get to? So we said you have two names of Hashem, the Yud Beis Kuf, right? If you change around the letters, Yud Beis Kuf, you could read it as Beis Kuf Yud. It means to be a bucky. A bucky is someone who's an expert, someone who's proficient. So there's two things that I have to become a bucky. There's two things that I have to work on if I want to have a derech. So two times bucky, again, 112 is the derech. So what is this? What is this? Thing they have to work on to become a bucky in that's going to give me the derech? So, says the Arizal, that's where the Shem Hashem of 161. How do you come up with that? So, we take the Shem Aleph K Vav K. We spell it out. Makes 161. And the other was Sag, the 63. Right? So, Kasa. Kuf Samech Aleph. Samech Gimel, right? The word Kasa is made of the Shem Ekya. Aleph K Yud K. Was Ekya? Kasa means like an asek, as a shemaim shamata. If I fly up to shemaim, there you are. So ayeka means I will be. So Rabbi Nachman puts it out like this: a person has to be a bucky in two things. He has to look at himself and he says, ayeka, I will be. A person tells himself, I'm not, because if I am already, then how will I be? How I get to that point? So I tell myself, I'm not. The first step in doing tshuva, says Rabbi Nachman, is realizing that every person, no matter what level he's on, relative to what he could be, he isn't. Or she isn't. They isn't there yet. All we can really say about ourselves is that, I want to be. I want to be. In other words, proficient, he's a bucky, and he says, this is a very big key, is to believe that no matter where I'm holding in my life, I can be bigger. I could be greater. Not that there are other people who are greater and that I could be greater than them, but I myself could become greater. And relative to what I could be, relative to what I have potential, so right now I'm nothing compared to that. Says, it's like I don't have a Havaya in this world. I don't have an existence in this world. And after a certain point, a person feels embarrassed, like, you know, I'm not in my right place. A person realizes that I'm supposed to be something, and everyone else understands such a simple thing. I'm supposed to be in a certain place and a certain thing, and I'm not doing. A person becomes embarrassed with themselves. Nachman brings down in Kabbalah, when you say that a certain thing is there but it doesn't exist, you write that word. For example, like this: Yud Ke Vav Ke. So if you want to say Yud Ke Vav Ke is being hidden, so instead of saying, you know, Yud Ke Vav Ke, say Yud Yud Ke. Yud Ke Vav, Yud Ke Vav Ke. You write out the name like that. When you write it out like that, it's like Dam. He says it's blood. A person feels embarrassed. The blood rushes to his face. He feels very embarrassed in a situation. A person always walks around the feeling that he knows that relative to what I could be, I'm not in my place. At the same time, I have to have a different type of proficiency. I have to be a Bucky in something else. I also have to be a Bucky in Samach Gimel, Sag. Right? Well, what's that? So when a person's right by a border, Sag, shouldn't fall. We're preventing him from falling any further. That's Sag. Sag means in Hebrew, like almost like a siag, to block, to fence, to hold a person in. That a person, no matter where he is, even though he wants to grow and he wants to change, but, you know, at the same time, people are afraid of that. Everyone's afraid to think, maybe I should be better, because he realizes if I'm not what I could be, I'm not becoming better. A person could start to feel upset with themselves, could get angry at themselves. People are very afraid of negativity, afraid of negative feelings, afraid to think that maybe I could be better because I could fall, chas v'shalom, into sadness or to depression, whatever it is. But if a person has a different type of, they're a Bucky in something else, then he looks at himself and he says like this: no matter what happened, no matter what happens, I don't have any chlisha sadas. I'm not going to feel bad. This is where I am. And Rav Nachman explains, like you said before, the person has dam. A person feels embarrassed that you know, he blood rushes to his face. Sadalad mem, right? Which could be dam, could also be reread, if you change the nakuda, dom. Like, by yidom aron. Aron was silent. Dom means to be quiet. A person can look at something that's embarrassing them, something that's upsetting them, and they could just be quiet, silent. If someone else comes and embarrasses me, I have to answer them back. I'm quiet. So if I embarrass myself, right, when I'm doing his bodhisattva, I'm thinking to myself, no one else is around, and I'm just thinking to myself, look at what I could be. Look at what I should be. How come I'm not? And I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed in that, right? Then the same way I don't answer back someone else, I don't even answer myself back. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. Not to even answer yourself back and not to get embarrassed, right? I'm not going to get upset. To be quiet in the face of my own embarrassment. When I embarrass myself, I'm silent. That makes a big tikkun. So this is what Rabbi Nachman says. These two types of proficiencies. When a person does that, then he's going in the derech of teshuvah. So it's a very simple, condensed idea, the way it's being brought down right now. But if a person really spends time and thinks about it, these two ideas, these two types of proficiencies that a person has to work on, then at any point, our entire life in Avodas Hashem is always in these two in these two categories, Ratzav Hashov. Rabbi Nachman explains to a person, you know, every second of his life has to work on with these two ideas. It's a very big bekias. It's very, very hard for a person always to get to a higher level than where he's at now, and at the same time, not to feel bad about where he's holding. That's the El Zman. To want and to bring ourselves out even to bigger avodas Hashem, but to be silent in the face of embarrassing ourselves. Why? Because people look like this. If I'm always going to want to grow, then I'm always going to feel bad about myself. So how can I be happy, right? And if I'm always going to be happy and content with myself, then how am I ever going to grow? So the trick, the kunz, is to be able to work it out where you can do both at the same time. Which means as follows: a person has to always want to come to a higher level than they're at right now. Right? A person, he or she always has to want to grow in every single aspect of serving Hashem, every single part of the Yiddishkeit. Better in my davening, better in my chesed, better in my Talmud Torah, and everything. And everything. There's not a single part of me which there's not a higher level I couldn't get to. That's a very, very big bekias, a very, very big proficiency. Because every person views himself on a certain plateau. If I reach there, that's the most I could get to. Or that's the most I'm chayiv to get to. That's the biggest I could possibly do. But to believe there's no such thing? To believe that I could always get better? There's always going to be another madrega, a higher level for me? Even I'm not going to get to that highest level, which I dream about, there's a next step which I could do. I think they say over from Rabbi Saul Salanter that he had hasagas, he had she'ifas to be like the Vilna Gaon. He says, I didn't get there, but if I didn't have hasagas like that, I never would have become who I was. That's the idea. To want more, right? To always be hoping and yearning and watching and thinking, what can I do to get to that next level? But at the same time, never to feel bad if it's just not working out. Never to think for a second. Rabbi Nachman said in Yiddish, you have to strive for the highest and don't feel bad even when you're the lowest, right? So Rabbi Nachman explains that a person's life in Avodas Hashem has ups and downs, alios, times where we feel inspired, yuridos, times where we have setbacks. That's, a person has to go. That's the whole life. You know, there's times when a person's excited and feels good about the Yiddishkeit, feels good about the way he daven, about his learning, chesed. He feels, I'm steiging, I'm growing, I'm achieving. But a person also has times, and this is the way it is. This is life. With a yuridos, a person goes, well, come on, what am I doing? It just doesn't work. I've tried so many times. I'm unsuccessful. You know, no matter what, I had this Seder, it didn't go. I had this Chavrusa, it didn't go. I tried davening. You know, person feels like I'm up against a wall. There's no place for me to go. There's no place in this world for me to turn to. So if a person has Elios, he has Nisyonos. If a person has Yuridos, he also has Nisyonos. Let's just speak this out. If a person's, things are going well, he has an Aliyah, so then there's a test, a Nisyon of Gaiva. Look how successful I am. Look how good it's going, right? A person who's on his way up could fall into a Nisyon of, I did it. I made it. You know, check. Check that one off. I'm unsuccessful. No one else to go. I'm at the top. I'm great. I'm Gevaldik. So he has Nisyon to keep going. I can still go further. I remember thinking the biography of Rav Scheinberg. That's all he says in his cheshik for learning. He says, what I wouldn't do to find a new Abaye and Rava. But that's on his madriga, obviously. A big tzaddik, but to know all the Abayas Ravas, Chalashin, to be excited about Chazring again, but there's always to push yourselves to another level, right? I can still go further. There's no such thing as stopping. There's always some place that's better. There's always a higher play. There's somewhere else I can go. But then, not to fool oneself. You know, I reached it. I got there. So there's an Nisayon to keep going, to realize I'm going up to Shemayim. Shamato, Hashem is there. A person will come to Shemayim, forget Hashem is there a lot of times. You have to know, remind me, even when you're in Shemayim, which means, the Rabbi Nachman saying, when you're on a high, things are going well, Baruch Hashem, a person has to come to Shemayim and say, Hashem is here, and then to keep going. Now, even if I go to the lowest places, Sho'ol, the lowest, Tachtis HaSho'ol, Hashem, right, you're here. In Breslov, they say on the Pasuk, if I go to Shemayim, Shamato, you're over there. If I go to Gehinnom, you are here. What does that mean? When a person goes up to Shemayim, he has to keep in mind, no matter how high he goes, he didn't reach Hashem yet. Hashem is still further from you. You have to climb higher and higher and higher. But at the same time, there's a Nisayon of Sho'ol, of a test that each of us has when we fall into low places, when things don't work out, when we didn't achieve, when we do what we were supposed to do, or our goals didn't materialize. We mess up, we trip, we stumble, we do the exact opposite of what we know we're supposed to be doing. So in those places, in those times, we have a different Nisayon, we think Hashem's not there. It's the same way that when everything's successful, forget about Hashem. People who are falling also forget about Hashem. They think, oh, Hashem's only up in the high madrigas. Only when I'm successful, that's when Hashem is there. But when I woke up late, I overslept for davening, or I got up on time, but the davening just didn't go. I was so distracted. I didn't learn very well today, or something last minute came up, whatever it was, right? That's the way it works in Avodas Hashem. I'm not getting along with Hashem today. It's not working out for me right now. No, a person has to know that no matter how low he or she falls, no matter what happens, Hashem is there. Hashem is here with me. And the person should never say, look, I fell so low that right now, in this situation, I can't do anything. Whatever it is that I'm supposed to be doing, I can't do right now. So I have to wait for those good times to come back. That's a cycle. I know. It's good days, bad days. Okay, that's just how it goes. Person thinks, I'll just you know, hang out here in this low, this smallness, in this mochen of katness, and I'll just wait for those good times to come back. So no, the very important I was explaining is that a person has to think that even on those days that look like a person's fallen to the lowest level, shol, it looks like he's in the depth, Hashem is here. What does it mean when he realizes Hashem is here? It means that since Hashem is here, I can serve Hashem right here in this place where I am. There's something right now which I could do. I could serve Hashem in this place. If I have a goal, for example, to learn every day for an hour, and for some reason I'm in a situation where I can't do that, but he'll say he has an Nisayon. You know, I have to wait. Vacation is over, right? I have to wait. Then I'll start learning again. I have to wait for whatever's going on in my life to be over, and then I'll get back to it. So you can learn an hour. You can learn a half hour. You can do a half hour. You can do 10 minutes. You could do a minute. And even if you can't do anything, you at least want to do it. You could talk about it. You could daven about it. There's something can be done, even if, you know, bepoel, you're not going to be learning that 1 hour a day. A person should always feel connected and always feel that he could have a connection no matter what. So that's what it means to be a baki b'rotzo and a baki b'shov. Rotzo, I run towards Hashem. And I'm also an expert in shov, right? So let's explain me running and returning. I think simply tzvat is a nigan like that, running and returning. To be a baki in running means, you know, you're running further and further towards serving Hashem, but you're also baki b'shov. Shov means to come back. And I'm always running, but I'm also always coming back. He says that the ikar kavod Hashem comes out of that. When a person is looking for kavod Hashem, he always goes further and he never goes down. Why? Why is that? That when you're looking for the kavod Hashem, you're always going to go further? Because a person's always looking out for his own kavod. And if he's always looking for his own kavod, his own ego, right? Then when you get your goals, it's good. It's over. It's finished. I know. I wanted this position. I wanted this promotion. I wanted this job. I wanted this title. I wanted this degree. I wanted this shidduch. I wanted whatever it was. Got it. Done. Got my certificate. But if a person's point in life is not for the kavod themselves, but the kavod Hashem, then he knows no matter what I do, there's always more kavod Hashem. There's always more to do to serve Hashem. There's always more ways to be mechabed Hashem, to give on to Hashem. There's more mitzvahs, right? I can do even the mitzvahs I am, I can do better and deeper and bigger kavanas, right? So too, on the way down, and the person's only looking for his own kavod, when he's not getting his kavod, he gives up. Listen, I wanted to do this. It's not working out, so it's not worth it. Why should I bother? Why should I keep trying? But when a person realizes this idea, everything's kavod Hashem, then no matter what he does, no matter how low he or she falls, you know, they're somehow going to give some sort of kavod Hashem to serve Hashem in that place. And even in the lowest situations, no matter how low they fall, no matter what, whatever mitzvah he's going to do is going to give kavod Hashem. Even the smallest mitzvah he's going to do, even the smallest amount, the little bit, he's going to be misgaber. He's going to overcome himself, will also bring out kavod Hashem. So a person does this. When a person does this, now he has the derech of teshuvah. A derech. I have a path. And no matter where he is, he knows what to do. His derech to do tshuva is to always go around with that idea in mind that I want the next level. I want to come to that next level, but at the same time, never to fall no matter where I am. I have the two bekiyasim, I have two proficiencies, and that'll give me a derech. That'll give me a path to do tshuva, and at the same time, now Hashem has his hand is outstretched to let me do tshuva, to bring me back to do tshuva. Before a person has these proficiencies, it's hard to do tshuva. Always trying and never gets something. Tries and he falls, gives up. He's nechazik himself. But when a person has these two proficiencies, then Hashem kaviyachol, so to speak, opens up the door, holds out his hand to bring him back. When a person has these two has achieved expertise, is a baki in these two things. So Reb Nachman says there's two pesukim. One pasuk says kavod malachim. The honor of a king is always being investigated, right? You know, political figures are always under scrutiny. You know, this was 11 years ago when he spoke about this, but it's true in 2020 also. Political figures are always under scrutiny. And there's another positive, Kvod Hashem Hastir Dovir, right? That the Kvod Elokim, you know, is to be concealed, to hide something. So when Rabbi Nachman says like this, when a person's always looking for kavod, then he's in Kvod Malachim. He's going to have that type of kavod that everyone's always looking at him. Do you really deserve that? Like, you know, why are you being honored this shul dinner? Why are you the Rosh Hashiva? Why did you get this particular position, right? But when a person's looking for Kvod Elokim, right, Kvod Hashem, right, not Kvod Malachim, but the other Kvod, the Kvod of Hashem, that Hastiyodavr gets covered up. No one looks into it to see if a person's really worthy, is he deserving it or not. Which means to say like this, when a person's whole about this Hashem, serving Hashem, he's looking for his own Kvod, so he's always thinking to himself, do I deserve it? Don't I deserve it? Am I getting Kvod? Am I not getting Kvod? Do I want to have the Kvod of a Melech? I want to have Kvod. He never gets anywhere because he's always thinking, am I making it or am I not making it? Am I being successful or am I not being successful? But when a person's out for the Kvod Elokim, so that's Hastir Dover. Things are covered. He doesn't have to think so much. Am I having success? Am I not having success? Right? The point is just do the best you can to strive for that higher level. And okay, what happens? It's okay. I'm happy with what I accomplished. And whatever I didn't accomplish, I'm going to try again. Not tomorrow. I'll try right now. I don't have to wait till tomorrow. I don't have to wait till that cycle returns and better days are coming back again. I can try right in the next second. The next minute, I can keep on trying because who cares about my kavod? The only reason why a person would give up after trying so many times is because he's out for his own kavod. What? I'm going to be a loser? I tried so many times and it didn't work out? But when you're working for Kvod Hashem, the Kvod Hashem is everywhere. Melochol haaretz kavod. The whole world is filled with Hashem's kavod. As long as a person wants to honor Hashem, do the ratzon of Hashem, there's always something can be done. There's no such thing. It's not shaykh to talk about, though. I can't honor Hashem anymore. The whole world is full of Hashem's kavod. The only difference is, am I out to honor Hashem or not? If I'm out to honor Hashem, then no matter what, I'll always find something to do. Something to think about. Something to work on. When a person has that attitude, Hastir Dover LaHashem, Hashem stretches out his hand and lets him do tshuva. So Hashem should help us. Now we're holding right now, it's Rosh Erev, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Elul's coming. We should be able to put ourselves into Elul and to realize that tshuva is really something which every single one of us can do. It's applicable, it's shaykh to every single one of us. You know, a lot of us think that tshuva is either something that I don't have to do or it's something I can't do. But when a person realizes that everyone has to do tshuva, everyone can go to a higher level. No matter what, there's always something higher. Teshuva is something that everyone can do. And no matter how the tshuva is working out, not to give up, not to feel bad. Person realizes, I can do it, right? That this is something for me. It's something which I can do. Then he feels I have a connection to this. And that's what it means to have a derech in how to do tshuva. Hashem should help us. We should be zoichet to use this Elul properly, to come into Rosh Hashanah and Yeseres Yimei Tshuva, to come into a Yom Kippur, and to use these Yomim Neroim. I think Rav Pam used to say that the Yomim Neroim, the days of awe, Rav Pam used to say these are awesome days. These are awesome days of Elul. Okay, and Meretz Hashem will continue on this theme next week as well.